This is the Space Show. Do you remember the Russian space station Mir? Do you remember the United States space shuttle Atlantis? Do you remember when Atlantis first docked with Mir? Do you remember photographic film and how prints were made from negatives? Do you remember a company called Kodak? Well, Mir was launched in 1986 and was deorbited in 2001 after 15 years of service. Atlantis was one of five space shuttles. It made 33 space flights between 1985 and 2011. It was 25 years ago this month that Atlantis docked with Mir for the first time. The meeting of astronauts and cosmonauts marked another easing of the Cold War tensions and rivalries. The STS-71 mission helped pave the way for today's International Space Station. The STS-71 mission was remarkable in another way. For the first time in spaceflight history, we were able to see sharp colour imagery almost as quickly as the pictures were shot. On previous missions, we had to wait for the astronauts to return and hand their precious film over to the photo laboratory to be developed and then prints made. All those Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, Soyuz and Space Shuttle missions before STS-71 were seen after the end of the mission. It was a quarter of a century ago that the crew of Atlantis used the world's first highest resolution portable single-shot color digital camera. The camera was made by Kodak. The DCS-460 featured a 6.2 million pixel imager in an electronic back on a Nikon N90 single-lens reflex camera. The camera was a spin-off from Kodak's work for NASA. This 35mm camera had colour capabilities equivalent to ISO 100 film. There's another do you remember. The ISO ratings on the film and the need to set your camera to that ISO rating. For the STS-71 mission, the digital images were radioed via the Tracking and Data Relay satellite system to the ground receiving station in the United States. Each image took 40 seconds to downlink via a laptop computer. Back in 1995, NASA had four of the Kodak DCS-460 cameras. Two were color and two were black and white. Now, why did NASA choose the first Shuttle Mir docking mission for the first outing of the Kodak camera? Because of the high public interest in this mission demanded quick availability of images. Another reason was that NASA officials realized that scientists would want near real-time, high-resolution pictures of their experiments on the space station. Pity Kodak. The company's Louise White said the company was pleasantly surprised with the results, with the poor lighting and essentially amateur photographers on Atlantis, and she didn't expect good quality. Now, Kodak did not draw public attention to the new camera in space. Big mistake, Kodak. From leader in digital photography to do you remember Kodak in just a few years. Well, here the crew of the STS-71 describe their ascent, rendezvous, docking, and hatch opening.
Most folks maybe don't realize that rendezvous started right here. We had a 5-minute launch window, and we had to wait for the moment in time when Mir's orbit was right directly overhead of us, and we could insert ourselves into the same plane that they were in. We hit that right on time. On this particular day, the weather cooperated, and it was a magnificent launch. Anatoly and Nick were very impressed with the vehicle, and we were off and running with a great start here.
Okay, once we got on orbit, we had an awful lot of work to do to get ready for the rendezvous. We had just a tremendous amount of activity at the end of flight day one, and then all of flight day two, getting our computers ready to go, getting our rendezvous tools set up. We had one or two unexpected events, including a little work that had to be done on the handheld laser, but we got ready to go in time.
We flew an intercept on the Mir that had us pick up the radius vector, or essentially come in right underneath the Mir and fly up below them all the way into docking. This was a pretty intensive period, as Bonnie and Greg have alluded to, on the flight deck, with the three of us flying and everyone else helping as we come in. We had a very narrow corridor that we had to intercept and fly up so as not to disturb any of the solar arrays on the Mir with our plumes. And as we got into about 500 feet or so, the Mir started its maneuver to the final attitude for docking.
And as it did that, we were able to start locking on with the TCS laser system, because on the end of the docking module were the reflectors that that system could lock onto. So I'm coordinating that activity here with the ground controllers. We were pretty much at the end of this event when the Mir was in attitude. We were ready to go on with it.
Ben alluded, it was a very busy time. We had, again, several calls going back and forth between the Mir and the shuttle as docking occurred.
As you may recall, we moved into 30 feet and held for 5 minutes, waiting for the timing to get exactly right. It was our objective in the course of the rendezvous not to have to fire any braking pulses towards the Mir, and we were able to work the timeliness, the closure rates, and the distances such that that worked out just fine. We were able to utilize natural orbital braking to bring us all the way into docking and never did have to fire a braking pulse all the way in.
Well, this was the hard part. We had six people with cameras on one side of the hatch and two people with cameras on the other side of the hatch. And, of course, everybody wanted to get a good picture. We had a variety of different cameras, stills, videos, IMAX, you name it, we had it. We didn't want to miss the hatch opening and the handshake, and you'll see we're flashing lights in each other's faces here. But it was an awfully exciting time, and we just couldn't wait to get that hatch open and greet our comrades.
And one of those cameras was, of course, that Kodak digital camera, and we saw it just a few hours later. Well, this has been The Space Show on Sullen FM.